Exodus 15. We've come to a part of Scripture, the oldest recorded song ever written here. We're going to talk about that this evening, a little bit about music. And I realize that's a hot topic today, but I'm looking forward to getting into that this evening. Exodus chapter 15, we're continuing our study here in the life of Moses. We've finished the plagues, we've got through the wilderness here, we're actually into the wilderness, past the Red Sea. And we're going to look at the song that they sing as soon as they get across the Red Sea this evening. Exodus chapter 15. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Exodus 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, they sank into the bottom of a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath distinguished and hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Verse 9, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And we see in this passage, for 21 verses, we see a song that they sang to God after this great victory through the Red Sea. We're going to look this evening at those beginning words here in verse number 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel. Let's pray and we'll begin. Lord, I thank you for this evening you've given to us, the time we have to be in your house. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this time, Lord, open our hearts. I pray, Lord, you would take away the cares and concerns of this world that may be cluttering our minds, and help us, Lord, to listen. And Lord, help us to pay attention to what's being preached, and help us to apply it to our hearts and our lives. And we'll give you the honor for all that's said and done. We pray these things in your name. Amen. The oldest recorded song is given here in this chapter. I believe that singing is vital to the Christian life. If you're going to live a successful Christian life, you've got to be able to sing. You've got to have a song in your heart. In Psalm 40, verse 3 says, And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And I'll tell you this evening, if you've accepted Christ your Savior, he's given you a new song to sing. You ought to be singing tonight. I don't want you to doubt anything about your salvation, but I do want to tell you this. If you're here still singing the world's music, you may want to do some re-examining of your life. If you're still singing the garbage that the world puts out, the rock, the country, the contemporary garbage that they're putting out and trying to get into our homes, you might want to do some researching. You might want to do some checking. Listen, I have no plans on making you doubt your salvation, but the Bible says he has put a new song in my heart. And you know, singing the song of God, you better make some checking, make sure you've got what he's given. And we see the Israelites, as soon as they cross the Red Sea, they sing. Why is that? Well, we're going to look at that this evening. What gave them a new song? What gave them this song to sing? Many people today looking to the world, but they won't find what God has for them. We see a great work done in the lives of the Israelites, and immediately they begin to sing praise to God. I believe this ought to be the first response that every child of God should have. As soon as you get through a difficult time, there ought to be a song coming out praising God, what he has done for you, what he's done for me. We've looked at a lot of big things happening in the Israelites' lives. They went through the plagues. They had the exodus from Egypt. And then, of course, last week we looked at the deliverance across the Red Sea. All of these things gave them freedom. You've got to realize this song that they're singing here in the first 20, 21 verses is a song that was 430 years in the making. 430 years they were enslaved by Egypt. And now they're free. And we find them singing this song, praising God for what He's done. Let me ask you this evening, when was the last time you sang to God? When was the last time you sang to God? Now I realize we just sang some songs, and I pray you did sing those to God. But I'm talking about personally. When was the last time that God did something in your life you just couldn't help but sing to Him and thank Him for what He'd done? And give Him the glory for the things that He had done for you. They sang this song to God. The very first verse tells us, then sang Moses and the children of Israel. I want us to look this evening at what caused them to sing. What caused them to sing? I want you to look it up here. What caused them to sing? If you're singing tonight, there's a reason. If you have a new song in your heart, in your life, there's a reason. Well, what is that reason? What's causing you to sing today? What song are you singing? Will be the question we ask. Real simple this evening, just three or four points, nothing large, but I want us to look at, then sang Moses and the children of Israel. We see number one, the reason I believe they begin to sing was number one, found in verse one, God gave them victory. God gave them victory. You see, victory always leads to singing. The winner always sings to make fun of the loser. Now you say, I don't do that. Well, I think you may. You ever get into a heated competition and you come out on the victorious side? What's one of the first things our flesh wants to do? Na 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 na, I beat you, you're a loser, I'm the winner. What are you doing? You're singing. You see, singing, a song is basically nothing more than elongated speaking. And we often do that. And maybe you don't do that, but at our house, if I win, the people are going to know. If I've won, if my team has won, there's going to be some rejoicing. We're going to sing. But then we get to church and it's almost like it's a different thing. Where's the rejoicing? What are you singing tonight? What joy do you find this evening? You see, victory always leads to singing. There's always singing with victory. The Bible tells us here in verse number 1, He hath triumphed gloriously. He rose up and increased over the enemy. The Israelites saw something that never seen before. This deliverance through the Red Sea, the dry ground, and as they got through, the waters crashed back down and destroyed the Israelites, or the Egyptians. They destroyed them. Boy, they were happy now. Victory was here. There's time to sing. Victory always leads to singing. They said here, He triumphed gloriously. Number two, we see the horse and rider were thrown into the sea. These are the words that they used here. Not only did they die, they were destroyed. Not only was this a death sentence to the Egyptians, they were destroyed. The Bible talks about how the chariots went into the dry ground, and as they got on the dry ground, the wheels fell off. It was not an accident. It didn't just happen by luck or chance. God removed the wheels from those chariots. He caused them to sink, and as they sang this song, you see in these verses, they praised God for giving them the victory. And we ought to, as a Christian, we ought to be singing God's song tonight because of the victory He's given us. You ought to have victory in your life, and that victory ought to bring a song. You see, victory always leads to singing. I remember standing beside my mom in the morning services and evening services of our church. Well, I thought she was the best singer ever. She would sing out, and as a child, I remember those days. I remember looking up to her as she sang. I think it's important as a family you sit together in church. I think it's important that you sing together as a family. You know, you sing as you go places. You sing as you go to church. You sing as you're in church. You ought to spend time as a family. This was the family of Israelites. But God just showed them something great, and now they're singing to praise God. And we see a time here that the victory brought singing. But there's another side to that. Losing always leads to mourning. Not the M-O-R-N-I-N-G, the mourning that comes after the darkness, but the M-O-U, something, something, something else. The mourning that leads you to crying. The mourning that brings sadness. Losing always leads to mourning. We've gotten to a point in this generation where we have no losers now. You go play a game, everybody wins. Listen, not everyone can win. It's not a game unless someone wins and someone loses. We've taught our children that it's okay, everyone's going to win this game. Listen, that's not a good thing to teach our children. We got to realize that with winning, victory comes singing. With losing comes sadness. But we've got to learn how to deal with both of those. It's part of life. You're not always going to win in life. There'll be loss. There'll be losing times. We want to be able to deal with those. We lose the singing when we lose in the battle. Maybe the reason we've not been singing is because we haven't had the victories that we should have had. I begin to think about this as they sang this song. They sang, number one, because God gave them victory. I begin to think in my own life, the time that I can look back and see the victory God's given to me and to my family, that was a time of singing. But very quickly, when the hard times come, the singing disappears. When the defeating is there, when we lose, the singing is gone. We got to be careful that we sing when victory is there. You know, you can't have victory if you're not in the battle. Many times we sit back and say, well, I'm not going to fight in that area. I'm not going to go through it. Listen, if the children of Israel were never delivered, they wouldn't have been singing this song. We would never have this song recorded if they had not been delivered through this difficult time. And we see a great time in the Israelites here as they're singing and they're praising God. Why? Because first of all, God gave them victory. God gave them the victory. God gives us victory. That will bring a song to our hearts and our lives. Moses and the Israelites sang because God gave them victory. Let me ask you tonight, do you have victory? If you are victorious tonight, you'll be singing God's song. You see, victory brings singing. Let me ask you tonight, what song are you singing? What song are you singing? It'll determine your victory. We see God gave them the victory. Number two, I believe the reason why they're singing is because God became their God. Look at verse number two. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him in habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. We see a great thing happening here. Number one, God gave them victory. Number two, God became real to them. God became their God. God became their God. We see the word my used three times in this one verse. God became real to them. I want to ask you tonight, is He real to you? If He is, you'll have a song. If God's real to you tonight, you'll have His song. You'll be singing His song. They're singing here, number two, because I believe God became their God. The first thing we see under here is they say, my strength and song, in verse number two. The word strength there means boldness or power. If you remember, last week as the Israelites were in this predicament where the Egyptians were behind them and the water was in front of them, they could not go forward, they could not go back. And if you remember correctly, Moses said, here's how we're going to win tonight. Here's how we're going to have victory. We're going to let God take care of it. We're going to sit back and hold your peace. What's that mean? God became their power. God became their strength, their boldness. He became their song. The word song means praise. He became their praise. He became their power and praise. I'll tell you this evening, if He's your power and your praise, you'll have His song. You'll be singing His song. They realized that they were delivered by His strength. So often we get through a difficult time and we look back and we say, Lord, I could not have done that without You. That strength had to have come from You. We ought to be singing His song. We ought to be lifting up the song He's given to us. We ought to realize that our deliverance comes through His strength. The Israelites did absolutely nothing to get through that water. Absolutely nothing to be delivered from slavery. God did everything. They realized that His power, His strength, is what delivered them. He did all the work and gave them the victory. God became their God in verse number 2. It says that He is my strength and song. The second thing we see is He is my salvation. The word salvation means deliverance or help. They realized that He delivered them and He gave them a song to sing. I want to tell you this evening, if God's delivered you, He's given you a song to sing. He's given you the song to sing His praises. I ask you again, what song are you singing? They realized that He delivered them and He gave them a song to sing. Do you remember the day you were delivered? Do you remember that day? I remember the day, I don't remember the date, but I remember the day, a Sunday morning. Evangelist Wendell Calder was preaching that morning. And I remember the Lord speaking to my heart. I knew He was talking to me. I knew it. 9-year-old boy, I knew I was going to hell. If I didn't do something about it, I would spend eternity in hell. An evangelist preached that morning, and he said, simply, all you have to do is you come forward, and someone will share with you God's simple plan of salvation. And they walked me through those steps. I realized I was a sinner. I realized that my sin had to be paid, and that Christ paid that sin debt. And all I've got to do is accept Him as my Savior. I remember that morning. I remember singing that morning. As a 9-year-old boy, I don't know what the songs were, but I remember singing. I remember God gave me a song that day. Do you? You remember that day God saved you? He delivered you? He gave you a song that day. What song are you singing? Where is your song this evening? They said, God is my strength. He's my salvation. And the third thing I think is absolutely incredible. We all need to get a hold of this evening. He said, He's my God. He's my God. We see that personal pronoun there being used, my. Instead of being my Father's God, He's now my God. And when He becomes your God, you'll have His song. When He becomes more than your parents' God, He'll be giving you a song. When He becomes more than your ancestors' God, He becomes your God. He'll give you a song to sing. We see here the word that they use for God here is El, Almighty or Power. He became their God. He was no longer just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No longer was He just the God of the patriarchs. He was their God. They had seen His power personally. They had seen His deliverance personally. He was their God. I want to tell you this evening, when you see the power of God in your own life, you'll see the song He has for you to sing. He gives you the song to sing. He became more than the God of Abraham. Remember we mentioned for 430 years they were enslaved. 430 years they lived in bondage. This generation that God removed from Egypt never knew the power that Abraham had. Never knew the power that Jacob and Isaac received from God. Now, they've been told about it. Their parents have no doubt taught them that here's what God did for our ancestors and from our grandfathers and our fathers. But this evening, God became their God. God became real to them. He was no longer just the God of Abraham. He was their God. If He's your God, you will sing. If there's a time in your life that He became your God, you will sing His song. I couldn't imagine as these people were being delivered and they see the mighty power that God had and the awesomeness that He is. They couldn't help but sing. They couldn't help but rejoice and give Him the praise for what He had done. Let me ask you again, what song are you singing? What praises have you given back? If you haven't faced any battles, you're probably not singing. If He's not your God, I guarantee you, you're not singing His song. If He's not real to you, you're not singing what He has for you to sing. He became real to them that night. I want to ask you, is He real to you tonight? What song are you singing? We saw, first of all, that God gave them victory in their singing. Number two, God showed Himself. He became their God. That's why they're singing. Number three, I want us to see that another reason why they're singing is because they saw God for who He is. They saw God for who He is. Look at verse number 11. Verse 11, "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among Thy gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" He became real to them. They began to sing. And then number three, they saw God for who He is and who He was. They realize, number one, that He is the God of all gods. He's the God of all gods. The very first thing they say, "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods?" You got to realize that this generation was coming out of Egypt. They didn't know God, Jehovah. But they sure had seen a lot of other gods. They saw the God of the sun that the Egyptian worshipped. They saw the God of the Nile, where they Egyptians took their babies and threw them into the Nile River, hoping they'd appease the gods. They saw that God. They saw the God of the frogs that they worshipped. The God of the wind that they worshipped. They saw these gods of the world, but this evening, they saw God Jehovah. They saw their God. They saw what their God could do. And immediately they begin to praise Him. They say, "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods?" They realize, number one, He's the God of all gods. Their God is not just any other God. He's the God of all gods. I want to tell you this evening, if you said that Christ is your Savior, you have the God of all gods. You don't have the wind that you have to worship. You don't have the frogs to worship, or the sun, or the waters. You've got Jehovah, the God of all gods, to worship. They sang because they saw God for who He is. They saw Him as God of gods. He became real to them. They realized that there was none like Him, glorious in holiness, magnificent and consecrated. He was to be set apart from all other gods. Could you imagine being raised as a slave? Your parents are teaching you, trying to teach you what the Bible tells them and trying to pass down what God told them to pass down. At the same time, the world's bombarding them and teaching them to worship their gods. I think we can kind of relate to that. I think we see a lot of that today. And it seems like the harder you try to keep your children separate from the world, the easier it is for the world to get in. The harder you hold on and you push away the world, the more you see the world in them. I want to tell you, God can give you a song through this time. God can give you the victory through this. God can give you His presence, the reality of Him being with you. You got to see God for who He is. They realized there was none like Him. He was glorious in holiness. He was different than the other gods. This God was alive. This God had power. This God brought deliverance. He's the God of all gods. They realized, number two, that there was none like Him. Fearful in praises, He was to be revered in song. You know, seeing God causes reverence and singing. You look at Isaiah. The Bible says, I believe in Isaiah chapter 6, that when he saw God high and lifted up, he saw how unworthy he was. You get the right perspective of God, you'll get the right perspective of who you are. It'll cause you to sing. Not because of how worthless you are, but because of how mighty He is. When you realize who God is and what He can do and what He has done, you'll sing. He said He was glorious in holiness. He was fearful in praises. And they say here, doing wonders. The third description of God here, doing wonders. Accomplishing miracles. Let me ask you this evening, do you see God for who He is? Do you see God for who He is? He's the Almighty, omnipotent God. He's our God. Can you see Him for who He is? Let me ask you this, what song are you singing? What song are you singing? That will reveal how mighty God is in your life. We turn to the world for their music and their songs. What we're saying is, God, I don't need You. I don't need that song You have. I've got my own way. God says, I'll give you the song. You trust in Me, I'll deliver you. I'll give you the song to sing. The Israelites couldn't help but sing this song. Why? Because they saw God for who He is. I believe there are those here this evening that need to see God for who He is tonight. Need to realize what God can do. No matter what you're facing this evening, He's the God that can do great wonders. He's the God that can do great miracles. He's the only one who can do that. Let me ask you again, what song are you singing? We saw, first of all, that they're singing this evening because, number one, God gave them victory. Number two, God became their God. Number three, they saw God for who He is. And number four, their singing caused others to sing. Their singing caused others to sing. Look at verse number 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." He did some studying on this, and it gives the idea, I don't know if this is true, I was not there, I don't have a personal record of it, But from reading this, it appears as if this song was being sung by the men. And as the men sang this song, and over again, the ladies heard them singing, and they saw the great victory that was done. And the men are singing, and Miriam gets to the point, she can't take it anymore, she has to sing. There's just too much building up within her. She's got to sing and praise her God too. The Bible says she grabs the timbrel there and goes out, and all the ladies followed after her. Why is that? Because when you sing, others around you will sing. Singing is contagious. You don't believe me? Walk past someone and whistle a little tune and stop for a second and see if they don't begin that. Walk past someone singing and it won't be long before they're singing that song. Singing is contagious. Miriam can no longer sit by. She must sing. I want to tell you this evening, a child of God cannot help but to sing. You can't help it. Let me ask you, what song are you singing? You know, that goes other ways as well. The world songs get in your mind. It's hard to get them out. That's why it's so important you sing God's song. It's so important that you sing the song God's given to you. Why is that? Because those around you will start singing. Miriam can no longer sit by. A child of God cannot help but to sing. I've mentioned before, I love to hear my children sing. I love it. They sing the hymns in the car. There's nothing like it. Nothing like that. They don't really don't know what the song is. Isaiah the other day was singing, "Bringing in the sheaves." He didn't have a clue what a sheave is. Bringing in the sheaves. Why is he singing it? Because we've made that available to him. God put a song in there. What a great thing it is to hear your children sing. Sing the songs of God. And no doubt, God's looking down, and He sees His children singing and praising Him. Praising Him for what He's done. I mentioned that song, "Bringing the Sheaves." I thought of a story that was told. A little boy comes back from Sunday school, and he goes back home, and his parents say, "What do you want to do?" He goes, "I want to sing the laundry song." "Laundry song? We never don't know a laundry song." He said, "Yes, you do. You know that song, 'Bringing in the Sheets'? Bringing in the Sheets?" He thought he got a little mixed up there on those. But there's nothing like having a child sing, even if it's the wrong words. There's nothing like it. It thrills my heart to hear my children sing. I can't help but to think of the thrill and joy that God's heart gets when His children sing. When His children sing out and praise Him. We see here the women begin to sing. Those around you will begin singing what you sing. Let me ask you tonight, is your singing causing others to sing? More importantly, what song are you singing? Let me ask you this, are you singing? The Bible says that they sang, why? Because God gave them victory. Not only did He give them victory, He became their God. And they saw Him for who He is. And their singing caused others to sing. Someone once said this, "They who wish to sing will find a song." Those who wish to sing will find a song. You know what the problem is? We're often not looking for a song to sing. You ever get around someone who's singing and you just don't feel like it? Especially early in the morning, you can't stand that. Someone who wakes up happy, that's just ridiculous. They get up and singing first thing in the morning. You ever get around that and you don't want to sing, but they're singing? You know what happens? Eventually that's going to wear on you. Before you know it, you'll be singing. You're going to be singing. Why is it? It's contagious. It's contagious. Singing is contagious. Let me ask you tonight, are you singing? The first thing is, if you're not, maybe because you didn't get victory. Maybe you're battling something, you haven't gotten the victory yet. If you get the victory, you'll sing. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not singing because you haven't seen God for who He is. If you have, you'd be singing. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not singing because God has not revealed Himself to you. He hasn't become your God. He wants to. Maybe you're not singing tonight because those around you aren't singing. You be careful who you associate yourself with. Be careful who you allow yourself to be influenced by. Because what they sing, you'll sing. What they do, you'll do. You be careful. Bible says here that then sang Moses and the children of Israel. Let me ask you one last time, what song are you singing? What song are you singing?